Ranger, would you lead us in prayer and ask a blessing on our brother Barrett?
Lord, Heavenly Father, hallowed be thy holy name. Again, we bow humbly and reverently in thy presence, thanking thee for thy presence with us throughout these days and this convention, throughout our services, throughout our fellowship. We pray now thy special blessing to be with our dear brother Barrett, that he bless to us the bread of life. That it brings to us a message from God's courthouse of truth, which our blessed lips, blessed heart, that he too may be encouraged and strengthened by this church. Help us, dear Father, to receive this message, to strive to obtain of these portions of it as they apply to our lives to build us up in our most holy faith. We pray thy forgiveness of our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Wilt thou fill us more and more, thy Holy Spirit, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, Brother Barrett this afternoon has in mind to tell us something of the character of God. And of his character, he's going to take one of the elements. So he's chosen as a title, The Power of God. I'm sure Brother Barrett has a wonderful message for us into the character of God and one of his attributes. So Brother Barrett, looking forward now in service of this pastor.
Dear friends, we've all heard of conventions of different people. There's conventions of commercial travelers, conventions of insurance men, convention of farmers, and convention of all kinds of people. They come over mostly to Victoria because that's a nice city, you know. And to the Empress Hotel. And you've never heard of a convention of ambassadors. There's never been such a thing since the world began. But here, we have a convention of ambassadors. Now, I want to impress upon our mind, yours and mine too, that we are ambassadors for Christ. And we've come in here, come together, to talk about our kingdom and our God. And I'm going to particularly stress our God's power. His power in bringing to pass all that He's promised. You know, His power is wonderful. I think I mentioned the fact that in His attributes, this is one that we cannot measure. No one dare measure the power of God. That God's power is manifest, not to the world yet. It isn't time. But it's manifest to you and I. You know, dear friends, His ambassadors have a power and authority that no one else has. Our Lord was the first, had that power, and He transmitted some of that power to His disciples. There was one time before they were spirit begotten, He breathed on them, and they went out preaching the gospel. He gave them a portion of His power, and they went preaching. And when they came back, oh, they had so much to tell Him. They said, even the demons obeyed us. They cast out demons, they healed the sick, they done all kinds of things. That was only a foretaste. And when they received the Holy Spirit at Pentecost, all these things that they had been, that they couldn't understand, they began to see them clearly. And Peter, as our Lord promised, he went and he opened the door. to the Israelites. That wonderful sermon that Peter gave. The power of God. I think we should remember this, that we have a power that these great men and learned men have not got. We have a power and we have authority to preach. But of course they don't believe it, they don't hear it. But none the more, to you and I is given that wonderful privilege and power to proclaim a wonderful gospel. Now if we were ambassadors in a, supposing you was an ambassador in another country, and supposing it was in Switzerland, and you was a Canadian ambassador in Switzerland, and I wanted to know something about Canada, I would go to that ambassador. I said, what kind of a country have you over there? And you'd be able to tell them all about it. And what about the king? Oh, yeah, our king. To him is the honor and the glory. We know, dear friends, the power of our king and the kingdom for which we stand as shining lights and ambassadors in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. And we are the only lights. Those who have the light of truth are the lights of this world. Our Lord said so. And sometime that's going out. It'll be utter darkness for a while. But while we're here, we're going to let that light shine as ambassadors for Christ. Let me impress upon your mind the power of Satan first. Because we should understand a little about our foe. You know, when a general goes to battle, what he wants to know is his enemy. And today, they have the characteristics of all these different generals. The other nations have them. Now, when Montgomery went to the Far East, he was going to fight Rommel. And they gave Montgomery the characteristics of Rommel. And he studied them, he studied his man, he studied his foe. He wanted to know. And they're smart because they'll find their characteristics and they know just what they will do. They begin to know Hitler. And when you know the Battle of the Bulge was on, they knew it was Hitler, not his generals. That was Hitler's idea. Make a big bluff. And they come out right. They knew. They let him go. He'd soon be petered out. So we today should understand a little. I'm not going to say we should study Satan and what he does. Because the apostle says we're not ignorant of his devices, but we know them. So we'll just touch on his devices. Until you made a consecration, oh, we let you go. You was asleep. The whole world lieth in the wicked one. But as soon as we make a consecration, he's after you and I. And he comes oh so subtle, very fine points. He studies, you know, the old trappers that traps the fur animals. They study each animal. They know the characteristic of that breed. If it's a lynx, they know the characteristic of that lynx. And they know what bait it'll take and how it will take it. And the same with all the other animals, they have to study them. And Satan studies first you and I. Now suppose and I like a lot of praise and this, that, and the other, and, you know, like to be well thought of. Satan knows that. And perhaps he knows me a little better than I do myself. He gets bait for me. Oh, yeah, he gets the bait all around. Of course, I want you to apply this to yourself. I'm applying it myself. And he knows just what bait you'll take. So, dear friends, I don't know your weaknesses. I know some of mine. And I have to be careful right there. Right there, I have to watch at his devices. You know, when we started out in this narrow way, we had to stoop. That stoop under the first veil of the tabernacle meant humiliation. Stooping. And it doesn't mean you're going to stand upright all the way.
No,
stooping day after day. We'll bow to this, we'll bow to that, and bow to the other. It's a pathway of humility. But Satan likes to stand up with a bold front. Oh, you are good. You're a fine speaker, Brother Barrett. You're one of the best. Oh, you're one of the best. See, all that kind of stuff. Then he comes the other way. You give up. You're getting old now. You are worn out. They don't want you anymore. You're no good. You don't help the brethren. You better give up. He comes two ways. Always. And two opposites. You know that's how the wonderful creed of the Trinity was formed, by two opposites. You got some of the brethren one extreme and some the other. And there come the doctrine of the Trinity. We are not ignorant of his devices. You know, it's a battle from the start to the finish. And Satan isn't going to give up until we pass that second veil. He's coming right to the end. Yes, he's with us right to the end. God's power, he promised that there would be a bride for the 144,000. There'd be a bride. You know, you and I do not appreciate enough this fact in God's power in selecting the bride. It's taken all these years, and as we said before, there's only 1 in 10 million. And here's the truth. God knew that as he looked down here, that they're going to be selected. It's remarkable how it's done. Satan tried his hardest to get our Lord crucified. He was keen that he had willing instruments in his hands, those jealous scribes and Pharisees, and the Heavenly Father let him go ahead. And our Lord knew the time he was to be crucified. And they was arranging everything. And our Lord was crucified on time, and Satan thought now he had the victory. But God's power was shown right there. Our Lord wasn't crucified before the time. But he allowed it. And Satan thought he had the victory. When our Lord marched into Jerusalem, all the crowd shouted Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. That was prophesied. And it had to be. Our Lord said if it hadn't, if they hadn't shouted, the stones would. God's power in bringing to pass every prophecy. And every prophecy, dear friends, on time. We don't appreciate this enough. Every prophecy will be fulfilled, as it says in Isaiah 34:16. Seek ye out of the book and read. Put them all together. Not one of these shall want her mate. The type and the antitype, the prophecy and the fulfillment. All be fulfilled. Dear friends, we have a wonderful God. You should not limit his power. If you was a commercial traveler and you come to see me to sell me something you hadn't been before, and I didn't know your company, you would give a great spiel about your company, your wonderful company. Oh, it's got the factory covers acres. We have so many executives, we have this and we have the other, and it's a wonderful company. And we, as ambassadors for Christ, we've got something to tell them about our King and our kingdom. And you know that kingdom is coming. If you don't believe it, of course you can't say it. I have faith in this kingdom. I know it's coming. I don't know the exact date because it hasn't been revealed. But it's being established right today. Everything is going on the other side. And we believe everything's in place for the final. And I'm pleased to talk of that wonderful King who has that power, that all the powers of evil put together cannot thwart his plan. And that kingdom will come on time. And you and I, If we are true ambassadors, we don't have a part in a wonderful kingdom for a wonderful king. There was an incident that happened at one time. This was with Napoleon. It was prophesied that the power of the Pope should be broken, and the time, it marked the time of the end. Now, how does God in his power bring a prophecy like that to pass? The Pope had to be taken a prisoner. He had to be brought low, and that superstitious reverence of the Pope had to be broken. And it had to mark a certain period. And the Catholic system had a great hold just before this on the French nation. And God was going to use that very nation who had upheld the papacy to bring them down. You know, that's God's method very often. Because it's more humiliating to the Pope and the Catholic people for the French people to do that. And who could he get to do it? You know, Napoleon was a man of opportunity. If Napoleon was born today, there wouldn't be no opportunity. But he came just right at the right time when the revolution was on, and he got prominent, he soon pushed himself forward, and he was a man of opportunity. And you know, he went, and he, as we know, took the Pope a prisoner to France, and there he died. And from that time on, he began to go down. Before that, everything he put his hand to prospered. That's prophesied in the 11th chapter of Daniel. He had no regard for his church, nor for women, nor the Protestant sect. All he believed in was the God of forces. That's just the man God could use to do this. Any other religious-minded general could not have done it. And then his power went, and he began to go down. This, dear, things like these, dear friends, are things we should take notice of. We should take notice of these prophecies that are fulfilled and some that are in the process of fulfillment. Another prophecy of the stone being lifted up, the millstone, what's been grinding all these errors for the people. And it's made them all sick. It's these errors that's made the whole world sick. And the angel is lifting it up. They're not being lifted up in Italy and Poland and them places, but right here in the West, it's being lifted up. When the Japanese will send their ambassadors to the Pope, and all these nations will send their ambassadors to him, it shows a recognition. Now, we do not think the Pope, the Catholic system, is going to get the power they had before. Of course, the scriptures do not indicate that, but it does say she's going to reign for an hour. Going to reign for an hour. They're going to make good use of it, too. But that'll be their downfall. These things, as we see them fulfilled, should settle us, as it were, in our faith, that God is able to make even the wrath of man to please him. A few days ago, the world was upset because of what happened in Russia and with Khrushchev. They were really upset. They hadn't got faith in God and in that kingdom. But I don't think the truth people were upset. We knew. We had faith in God. We knew it wasn't the time. I'm speaking now of another incident back in the Second World War. I spoke to many different Bible students at the time when Rommel was coming up. It looked as though he'd go right into Jerusalem. But I believe all Bible students knew from prophecy it wasn't time. He didn't go. Something stopped him. It wasn't the time. He turned back. Something happened. Turned back. So you see, if we have full confidence in the power of God to control all these things and bring them on time, we'll rest in faith. There was a time when the disciples went in a ship. I'm going to read you this in I think it's in Matthew, isn't it? Yes. And he entered into a ship and passed over. No, it's before this. And but Jesus, and when he was entered into a ship, this is Matthew 8 and starting the 23rd verse. And when he was entered into a ship, his disciples followed him. And we understand he was tired. He lay down and went to sleep. And behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves. But he was asleep. He had a wonderful confidence in God, hadn't he? That no one could harm him until his time had come. He said that to Pilate, you know. He said, unless he'd had the power from God, he couldn't crucify him. He was a wonderful example for us. Believed in God that none of these things would happen by chance. And they came to him and woke him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. He said unto them, why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith? We are those of a little faith. He's speaking really to us. Because this is a condition, this is coming upon the world today. The wave coming up, it looks terrible, doesn't it? Then he arose and he rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. And they marveled. They said, what kind of a man is this? He speaks to the waves and they're still. That was God's power. That is God's power. Now, we haven't that power to still the waves that our God has. And we're in the ship with him, in this wonderful ship. And he has that power to still the waves in the due time. So we shall trust in him for all these things. There was a time, you know, when Elisha was being chased by the Assyrians. And he had a servant. And his servant was fearful. And these Assyrians, with all they come to compass the city to get Elisha. And Elisha's servant was very fearful. So he asked the Heavenly Father to show his servant something so that it would steady him up, so he shouldn't be fearful. And God granted that servant a vision. We'll read it in 2 Kings 6, 12 to 17. I won't read this all. I'll start from the 15th verse. And when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, a host compassed the city, as the host of the Assyrians, both with horses and chariots, and his servant said unto him, O my master, whatever shall we do? My master, whatever shall we do? They've got us now. And he answered, fear not, for they that be with us are more than all that be against us. Are more than that they be with them. Same thought. Elisha knew the power of God was something stronger than all the hosts of the Assyrians. He wanted to assure his servant of this. So we go on, and Elisha prayed, said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. It's called to mind that wonderful scripture, the Apostle Paul. Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister to those who shall be heirs of salvation? ambassadors for Christ. Do you think God has appointed you and I an ambassador without a guard or guardian angels, knowing that we are in an enemy country? No, dear friends. Are they not all ministering spirits? Our Lord said he could call upon 12 legions of angels. And Elisha says here that those who were for the people of God was much greater and stronger than all they that were against them. So while we remember Satan's power, we want to remember, on the other hand, the power of our King, for whom we stand, for whom we are ambassadors. I want to read Luke 4. And Jesus, this is from the 14th verse. And Jesus returned, this after his temptation in the wilderness, and Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit. The same Spirit that imparted to you and me, but of course he had it in larger measure, in full measure. And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit unto Galilee. And there went out a fame of him throughout all the region round about. And he taught in their synagogues, being glorified by all. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as was his custom, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of the sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." And he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister, and sat down. And the eyes of all were fixed upon him. And he began to say unto them, "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears." We see our Lord had the power of the Spirit, and he knew a prophecy was being fulfilled there. We too should note these prophecies and when they are fulfilled. We are those who are proclaiming the acceptable year of the Lord. That was an acceptable time then for the Jews. And now we are proclaiming God's kingdom being established here on the earth. The time for that is near at hand. And he began to say unto them, "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears, and all bearing witness, and wondered the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth." And they said, "Is not this Joseph's son, the carpenter's son?" Now, when we go and tell others this wonderful message of truth, they say, "Well, who are you? You're only a carpenter. You're only a painter. I know you. Why are you telling me all these wonderful things? You know, if the archbishop, all these great ones, come and told it, they'd believe. But who are you?" That's what they said to our Lord. "Who are you telling us these things?" And our Lord remembered the scripture, "Who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed?" Yes, it's a comfort we believe to him. And then he went on to say, and he said unto them, "Ye will surely say unto me this proverb, Physician, heal yourself. Whatsoever we have heard done in Capernaum, do also here in thy country." And he said, "Verily I say unto you, no prophet is acceptable in his own country." Then he went on to to show them about the how Elisha and the prophet, Elisha the prophet and the widow. She wasn't an Israelite. And we find the same thing here today, as we have this power of the Holy Spirit, because it is a power, and the Word of God is a power. It's not believed. And we're going to stop. Are we? What's the use? It is a use, dear friend. That is where the test is. No, many years ago, we used to think, because in the earlier days, if we'd advertise a public meeting, we'd get 1,000 in. And today we get very few, and you say, well, it's no use. We shouldn't say that. It is. It's given the witness. Proclaiming the acceptable year of our Lord. We proclaimed that last night, that wonderful message. The acceptable year of the Lord. We're in that time. It's got to be given. You know, if you and I don't give it, the stones are going to. This must be fulfilled. And we recognize that our Lord, He taught differently to the scribes and Pharisees. He spoke as one having authority. And His words were with power. I have often thought, with the weakest ones of us, we have that power. And no one can gainsay this beautiful truth. I went to a funeral at one time, and there was a wonderful minister. Oh, he was a beautiful man. He was beautiful as Brother Pollock, a great big, beautiful man, you know. And he had lovely robes on, and oh, he gave a lovely discourse, but he didn't say a thing. He didn't say a thing. There's nothing with power. He didn't know anything. And I looked at him. He had a wonderful delivery, all his wonderful talent. But God hadn't given him the power. And I thought, I thank Thee, O Heavenly Father, You've given me, anointed me to preach a wonderful gospel. Not that people believe me, but then we have the truth. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings. I took a funeral at another time. I thought it was just beginning. I was only getting warmed up. I took a funeral at another time. I took a funeral of a sister's husband. And they were all worldly pallbearers. And one was an absolute atheist. He was an absolute atheist. Oh, he hated religion. I knew him well, and he knew me. So I rode with the pallbearers to the graveyard. He says, King, I'm going to tell you something. I didn't believe a word you said. He said, I like listening to you because I can see you believe it. He said, these other bums get up there with all their robes on, they talk all this stuff and they don't believe it. But you, he said, I can see you do. He said, I don't mind listening to you because I believe you believe what you're talking about. Dear friends, we do. This kingdom, whose ambassador, we are ambassadors for, I believe, that king and that kingdom. I believe it's coming. I believe it's coming on time. As I see all these prophecies fulfilled, the Jews going back on time, everything on time, all these things are coming to pass on time. Dear friends, we have a wonderful God, and His power cannot be measured by mere man. He says in Isaiah 40:16, he says, the nations are just like dust in the balance. Just like dust. Nothing. And they could scheme this and that, the other, and the other thing, the United Nations keep jangling, but it all comes to naught. He's going to have them all in derision. And God's kingdom will come in its due time, when the church is complete. So you and I, this little time we have left, shall we not be true ambassadors for a true God and a powerful God, and proclaim to the last this message of the coming kingdom, which is for all mankind. So while we recognize the power of Satan to draw us, let us, on the other hand, remember the power of our God. It cannot be measured. May the Lord bless you.
Thank you, Brother Barrett. Indeed, helps us a lot to be reminded about this power of God that is working in us. And as Brother Barrett has gone back through time, emphasizing how God has exercised his power through men like Napoleon, Rommel, all those unbelievers, how much more he is using his influence on his saints. Brother Barrett would like us to close with Appendix B. Shall we rise in the last verse, please? Appendix B.
Creator of this wonderful universe. And Holy Father, we thank thee who has bowed thine ear down to hear us and to recognize us as sons of God. We thank thee, Holy Father, for so great a promise. May we keep this fresh in our memories, and that all Thy power and thy holy angels are enlisted on our behalf. May we have that faith and trust in thee through the storms of life which is coming upon the world. May we rest in faith in thee. Holy Father, bless each dear consecrated heart here in thy presence. Bless all those that love thee. Bless all those of feeling after thee. And we thank thee. Thou hast given us a little privilege of proclaiming the glad tidings, the message of the kingdom, thy kingdom, and help us to be faithful to the end. Forgive us for anything we have said amiss. We want to honor thee, and to thee be all the praise and the honor in Jesus' name. Amen. Yeah.